Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about mistakes. Mistakes in the kitchen, the farm, garden, building projects, sewing, blogging, all the things. This episode was actually a request from someone. I had a reader that sent me a message. I forget which post it was after. It was after one of my posts where I was sharing learning to do all the things. Actually, yeah, that's what it was. It was a podcast about learning to do all the things. And she said, that's great. I'm encouraged and inspired to learn new things, but I want to hear about your mistakes that you've made along the way, because it's also encouraging to know that it wasn't always easy and that people who appear to know how to do certain things struggled to get to that point. So I'm going to dive into that. My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. All right, so I compiled a list, but the thing about it is I was coming up with them left and right, and at some point I just needed to stop and record this podcast before my family gets back home, because Luke took the kids out for a little bit and I only have so much time. And so just know that these are not all the mistakes that I've made. I was coming up with them so easily that I think I could probably talk about this for over an hour. So this was the message I had from someone in response to episode 94, where I talked about learning to do things. She said, it would be great to highlight more of your struggles and share your solutions. Always find real examples. I noticed that whenever I was thinking about building projects, for example, all the things that we've built around this farm and our house, neither of us have experience and stuff like that. I was noticing that pretty much every project that we do has some kind of mistake that I'm hyper focused on while we're working on it. But I've learned over the years and through all of the projects that after we're no longer hyper focused on that one thing, and it's just a part of our home, a part of our farm, that I no longer really care or notice the mistake. But at the time, it feels like, you know, if only we would have done this a little bit differently. So I'm going to talk about all of those, but I think every single thing we've done does have a mistake in it. Luke and I, neither of us really grew up, you know, building anything, or, well, I grew up on a farm, but not a small hobby farm with a dairy cow and all of that. So a lot of this is just new to us, and it's a learning process along the way. Here's just a few examples with the builds. One, the picket fence posts are too short. This drove me crazy while we were working on it. It wasn't something I thought about because I've never built a picket fence before, but we could have bought larger fence posts. I just didn't think about it. So many times when we're building something, you don't notice the potential for a mistake, or, you know, you haven't thought it through because you've just never done it. And so you just have no clue what to even think about until it's done. And so with that, I knew that there would be enough support with the posts we put in, but now I don't like how the vertical boards aren't lined up with the gate boards. It's a secure fence. It's all good. It just is one of those things that I would have done differently if I could do it all over again. Another is the handrail on the front porch steps. This is something that doesn't bother me at all anymore, but just after we completed it, this is what happens to me. Whenever I'm driving around town after working on something for so long, I notice all of the front porch rails and I think, oh, there's this certain board lines up with this certain part, and in ours, it doesn't. And then I just start noticing that everybody else did it differently, and so clearly we must have done it the wrong way. There's no solution. You guys are, the original question asked for what the solutions are. The solution is that I always just come to where I understand that it's good enough and accept it how it is, because once you build something and then think, oh, we should have done it a little bit differently like this, then there's really no going back without rebuilding it. But I can tell you that this one doesn't bother me at all anymore. For a while, I thought, oh, I think we might have actually made this certain board a little bit short, doesn't line up just right, and now I think it looks just fine. But it was a little detail in the building process that I hadn't thought about until after I saw it and saw it done differently. Now, I did find a few houses where it looked more like ours. So I was like, well, maybe that, you know, maybe there's more than one way to do it. Off center garden entrance, windowsill too small in the bathroom, gates that don't meet up in the middle that I, again, didn't notice until it was done, T-post instead of wood post in the goat fence. So another thing is you start to notice styles that you like based on working on something. So for example, when I drive through town, we live in a, not really our town, but the next town over, so like the big town near our town, it is the cutest historic town, all of these old houses. And so there's a lot of inspiration. And I find that when I drive through, I'm always looking for something else. I'm either looking at their landscaping, or I'm paying attention to their porch railing, or their front door color, or their pathways and sidewalks. I'm always observing something, the lighting, and it's always a different detail that stands out to me because it is what we are currently working on. Without working on it, it's not something I notice. I don't notice their porch posts or their decorative trim. But each time I take in a new detail, and when I'm working on something, that's when I notice it. By putting one foot in front of the other and working on things, you do start to notice your style, but sometimes you take action, which I still think is good. I still advocate for this because I feel like we wouldn't get anything done if we didn't. But you sometimes notice things that you would have totally done differently once you observe a new detail. And one thing is, and I'm so glad we figured this out before we fenced in our entire property, but I don't really love the look of T-posts. I don't mind the T-posts whenever they're down in the woods away from the house, but in every fence around our house, we went for wood post, and I think it just looks so much better. But when we first built fencing for the first time ever, where we needed to put the goats, we just used T-posts and woven wire. We went and picked up a green farm gate just from the farm store. And now after, you know, observing fencing for the last year and a half since that project, would have totally taken a little bit of extra time and money to make that fence a little bit more charming. Now, we can always fix it later, and I've learned a lot about myself and my fencing preferences, but that is something that is a mistake. And I guess the solution for it is just that we'll eventually redo the fencing. Window too big in the kitchen. I've talked about this in my kitchen regrets post. Another detail I never noticed in kitchens was how the windows fit in between the trim, and so I just did what I thought without really thinking much into it, and now I would have changed that. I was looking through my blog and looking at all of our building projects and noticing like every single one that I looked at, as I was scrolling through, I thought, oh yeah, there was a mistake there. Not really a mistake, but things I would have done differently. Oh, there was a mistake there. So one was when we built our hearth pad for our wood stove, we used regular backing, which is actually the right way to do it. If you have a lot of space and you can do the height, that's actually better to do. But we actually have a really limited little area where we can put our wood stove, and we did our fireplace mantle project after that, so a few months later, and I learned about this sticky backing that adds no height, and that has held up so well, just as well as the wood stove one. So now I think, oh, we could have even made it shorter if we had known about that first. And I totally would have, just because of the space and how the doors hit, it would have been better to have a lower profile hearth pad. But again, just something that I didn't know at that time. Another is considering the mantle in the living room project. I love the little hearth pad we made for it with the sticky back. But I would have hung the TV a little bit higher because once we got the frame, the art hung too low. I would have bulked up the mantle. Again, something we can always change later, and we probably eventually will. All right, window box not secured well enough. So our window box outside of the kitchen window actually fell last fall because it wasn't secured enough and I put pumpkins in it. So lesson learned. The solution is that we hung it up with a lot more secure, in a lot more of a secure way. And so it has stayed up since then, and I probably still won't put pumpkins in it. Maybe small ones, but not huge ones. Not taking the time to do things right. So before we learned how to, for example, extend an outlet past beadboard or shiplap, we would just leave it like that because we didn't know how to do it. we just felt like we were done with the project. And then that's one of those things that drives you crazy forever. And you should just take the time to finish it and do it right while you're doing the project. And then I wrote, last house, the built-ins, there was no focal point. This used to drive me nuts. We built built-ins and they were very functional, but the center box was way too huge. Now, the solution is, I think if we still lived in that house, I would get the frame TV or something to where it wasn't just this black box was the focal point of the room. Instead, I would put maybe some art in there to fill it out. I think I could totally decorate for it a little bit better now. All right, let's move on to sewing. So many mistakes along the years. I started sewing, well, when I was a kid, I started experimenting with it, but I really started sewing a lot 10 years or so, or I guess more like 12. Whenever I had my first daughter, I wanted to find some cute dresses for her. I didn't want to pay the boutique prices. And so I started really focusing on learning how to sew. I didn't really know much of anything. My mom helped me work through a pattern. Once I understood how clothing was put together, I started experimenting with it myself and designing my own dresses instead of just using patterns. And one mistake that I made over and over and over again was making things too small. With sewing, there is so much seam allowance that you need and hem allowance, because you have to obviously attach the two pieces on the sides and take it up on the bottom to hide the raw edge. And as a newbie sewer, I never added enough. I always was being a little bit stingy with my fabric, and then the end product was always too small. The solution is just that I learned that by experience, that I always made things too small. So to make them a little bit bigger, I had so many failed things that I had to give to other people because they weren't gonna fit my child. And then it's funny, my daughter's really into sewing now. She sews constantly, and that's her biggest mistake, is she always brings things down and shows me that are too small. And so it's just a thing that you work through and you learn from. I don't really know if there's a way to avoid a lot of these mistakes without learning it for yourself by failing and seeing the result of that failing. There's so many things you can't learn in a book. That's like right now, and I'm jumping ahead to the farm section, which I shouldn't do, but I'm going to. In the last 2 weeks and 4 days, that's how long we have had our dairy cows, had our calf, and so I've learned a lot about dairy. I had read things on my Keeping a Family Cow Facebook group. I have the Keeping a Family Cow book. People have told me things, but until it was directly an important part of my life that I needed to know right now, I paid attention-ish. And then now that it's so relevant to my life because I have this cow with this calf and I need to make sure she doesn't get mastitis. I need to make sure she doesn't get cracked dry udders. I need to know how to handle the milk properly. Now I'm a research maniac and I've learned so much more about dairy in the last 2 weeks than the 2 years prior, where I was seriously considering getting a dairy cow. So I think mistakes are just part of the process. It's something that you have to actually do. Okay, another thing with sewing is, again, like in the builds, getting in a hurry and not doing things the right way. So with slip covering, I spent so much time slip covering with drop cloth, two couches and two wingback chairs, and I did not take the time, this is embarrassing, to serge the seams. So what do you think happened if you're an experienced sewer? The first time I threw those things in the wash, I had a mess of unraveling threads and string, and what looked so pretty going into the wash came out a mess. And then I had to cut off all of the strings that were everywhere and then go ahead and put in those serger edges or zigzags, whatever you want to do to finish it later. I still had to do that work, only it was so much harder. I had a mess on my hands, but I sometimes tend to get in a big hurry and just want to see the end result. And that is something I've learned about myself, and I've learned to just take a little bit of extra time because I'll always appreciate it later. Again, I'm working on it. There are definitely times when I still do that, for sure. Okay, another thing, I was looking through my blog and I saw one of my earlier projects and there's a buffalo check pillow on my blog, and I didn't line up the buffalo check. I don't think that was something I noticed that needed to happen until much later in sewing, and so I don't think I even noticed when I was taking the pictures. But whenever you have stripes in buffalo check, you should line up the side seams so that they're not all off. But again, you probably won't notice that for a while and you'll probably mess up some stuff. But here I am telling you, those need to be lined up, and I definitely did not know that in the beginning. Moving on to the blogging category. And again, there are so many more sewing mistakes. I just honestly don't even remember them all. But I think I probably had 5 good years of mistakes before I made something wonderful or even somewhat usable. Not even wonderful. Okay, blogging mistakes, moving over to Squarespace when WordPress was hard. I talk a ton about this with my blog students. I'm always harping on this, and I still get people that say, should I just move over to Squarespace? I don't like WordPress. And push through it. That was a mistake I made in the beginning. Once you finally wrap your brain around it, which might take a year, it will be easy, customizable. It'll give you all of the freedom to build your business how you want it to be built, whereas that same control isn't yours, isn't offered with that, with Squarespace. So that's my personal opinion. Writing about the wrong topics, thinking things would, people would be interested in things that weren't searchable. Those are all mistakes. Not investing sooner in a macro lens for food photography. That's just a little thing that I learned recently. So I have struggled through my food photography for 5 years, and then recently I invested in the right lens that I should have always done, because it made it so much easier. And then my last one that I wrote down, but again, there are so many more, not buying all the props. So I recently went and bought so many little things, like tea towels that I designate only for food photography, little cookie drying racks. I don't actually use those, I just don't, but they make the prettiest food photography. And so now I have them stored in my food photography section of my kitchen. The little honey stir for when there's honey recipes, cute little dishes and spoons all make that job just easier. And so anything that can save me time with my business is a good thing to do. I've also wasted money on things. I one time spent $4,000 on something with my blog that I'm not really sure I saw any return for, but I've also spent $4,000 on something that yielded way beyond that. I have to just roll into, in my brain, I have to roll the expenses that I thought would pay off, maybe a certain mentorship or a course, and with the ones that really worked out and I still have come out ahead by investing back in my business, even though sometimes I definitely made the wrong decision. In the thrifting / antiquing category, one is buying things that are beyond repair. I remember one specific example of this armoire that I drove a half an hour to go get, which isn't that terrible, but it was hard to get in the vehicle. And it ended up sitting in our garage for over probably 2 years because I couldn't part with the amount of money that I spent on it. And it was beyond repair. Luke looked at it and he said, this is, what did you bring home this junk for? This has no value. And that's when I started realizing that just because something is old and beautiful doesn't mean it's usable. I have pieces like that in my house right now. I have an armoire that's sitting at the bottom of the steps and it's really starting to fall apart. It was $30. It's so pretty, but every time I open it and the little door is falling off and there's no really great way to fix it because it's not really solid, I know that that was actually just a mistake in buying, because even though it was 30 bucks, it took Luke a whole afternoon to go pick it up for me. I've dealt with the door not working properly for all of these years, and probably for not that much more money, I could actually buy something that shuts properly and is solid and nice. And so that's something that I'm really into looking for now. Not just is this pretty, oh, we can fix it up, but how solid is this piece? Because I've wasted lots of time and money on things that I think are a great deal, and then turns out they're really not. Buying things that were cheap but not rare, not my style. And then another one is just not buying things that I really love because I don't have a current place for them. And I find that my home, I just can't get to that collected look without stocking up on things even when I don't exactly have a place for them. That's something that I've just learned over the years. Okay, farm mistakes. One is jumping the gun on buying a 4-month-old calf versus waiting and just purchasing a cow that's already bred and ready to milk. If you followed our whole getting a dairy cow story over the years, the first cow I bought was only 4 months old. She was a 4-month-old heifer. She was super cheap. I'm not saying I regret it at all because I halter trained her. She is still like a puppy dog because I got her so young. But even after all this time, she still isn't old enough to breed. Now she will be shortly. She is currently living at my sister's farm and she'll be bred this fall. And so then she'll be ready to be milked in about a year. So that was a lot of time invested. And then after kind of wrapping my brain around all of that, I mean, I knew how the process worked, but I guess I didn't think about how long it would be. I bought a cow that was 4 years old and bred, and then I'm already milking her now. So definitely if you're wanting to get a dairy cow, I would recommend not making that mistake, buying a calf or a cow that's quite a bit older. Again, I don't regret it because we have a sweet Guernsey that is very friendly. Another on the farm is free range chickens. I've learned this, oh man, over and over again. As much as I like a chicken walking up while you're in the garden or on your front porch, you can't find the eggs. And so then I have piles of eggs that I end up finding later that go completely to waste. And so that's something just, a mistake that I've made for a lot of years of just letting chickens run free and then finding out, okay, you can actually utilize this. Okay, another is needing more gates on the fencing. Again, I don't know how to avoid this one because you don't really know the points where you're going to go through a fence line until it's all put in. At least that's how I feel. Maybe there's some homestead people out there who somehow have figured out how to map it all out. But for me, whenever the property was all open, I couldn't tell, okay, which points, if there was an animal in here, and if I did have a watering spot here, where would I want the gate? It's only after that I'm like, okay, we should put a gate here, that I'm realizing that there's a lot more spots I want gates. We have probably, how many gates? 6 gates that go down into the pasture. And there's just a few spots where I want more. And we can always change that later. And I'm figuring out how we're using it all now that it's all fenced in and where I would want entrance points. Okay, planting stuff in the garden that we don't even like or eat. I talked a lot about this in a recent garden Q&A over on my YouTube channel. But I totally made that mistake of overplanting the garden, planting all of this rare stuff, and then finding that nobody really liked that thing. I wasn't used to cooking that thing. And then we'd end up wasting a ton of food. Okay, with decorating, I'm gonna blow through this one. Picking the wrong furniture, painting the house all white. That's something I'm still working on. I have learned that it's really easy to just paint everything white because then it all matches and you don't really have to go through this decision of, oh, have I coordinated everything just right from this room to that room? I'm finding that I just want a little bit more dimension and color, and I'm still struggling through that one because I don't really know how to do it. I don't know when I'm sitting in my kitchen and I can currently see the entryway, I can see the stair foyer and the dining room all in one view, how I coordinate those. So I'm still thinking through that one. That's something that is still just a mistake because we painted it all and now I really don't like it. But I will learn once I, probably in the fall or the winter, whenever my mind isn't all focused on outside stuff, I'm sure I'll have time to sit here and think through a color palette for the house. It's just slow and steady. But painting it all white, I'll say, was a mistake for this house. There are certain houses that it would work out in, but for this house, it just doesn't do anything for the details that art in the trim, in the height of the ceiling, that just, it doesn't do anything for it. And so there you go, mistake. Okay, in the kitchen, so many dense loaves of bread, moldy sauerkraut. I've had it. You guys have reached out to me. What do you do when this happens? I've been there too. You learn what you have to do to make that not happen. And probably so many more. I can't think of them all because usually, even if it's not perfect, we still will eat it. But I know that I've made plenty of less than delicious meals that I did not share on Instagram and I did not share on my blog or YouTube channel for that reason. All right, well, I hope that this was inspiring to you to hear about all the mistakes I made. The real question is, what mistakes haven't I made as I've learned how to do things around my home and my farm? I think every single project, if I really thought about it, has something about it I would change. But overall, I'm very proud of all the things that we've built. I find that they are good enough, definitely good enough. And so that's my encouragement to you. Don't let perfection stop you from learning something new. Know that everybody will make mistakes, and that's all part of the learning process. It's really, I think, impossible to learn something new without making a mistake, without wasting your time or your money. But then overall, once you have learned it, you are richer for it. All right, well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. If you have not yet, grab my free blogging success masterclass, where I teach you in a 1-hour class all the mistakes that I've made with blogging, how to avoid them, how to build an internet business to supplement your family income or replace it. You can get that at bit.ly/farmhouseblogging school. I will see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.